by the ones opposing. He says, which to them is a demonstration, or King James says evident token. It's the idea of a demonstration of perdition or destruction or ruin. In other words, the ones opposing, they're demonstrating about something about their future, destruction, ruin. But to you, salvation. Salvation. That's what it's a demonstrate to us of salvation is what Paul's saying. And then he says, and that from God. Now he's going to go on here. I'm just going to try and wrap this up. This will lead me into where we're going next week. But in verse 29, and to explain this further, he uses a hati though, not a gar. So it's because unto you it was given. And the word given in Philippians 1:29 is the verbal form for graciously given. So he says, for unto you it was graciously given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe into him. So we could spend a lot of time just talking about that, that for the believer, it's given. What's given? Well, what do we need to believe? Faith. And so here we can see something, if, you know, when we connect to the result of God's doing, he even gives us the faith to believe, that initial faith to believe. And this is one of the verses you could use to demonstrate. Not only was it graciously given on behalf of Christ to believe into him, but also to suffer on behalf of him. To suffer on behalf of him. And so it was a gracious thing, though, that it was given to us to suffer on behalf of him. Where is he? He's at the right hand of God. And we are in him and one with him. In fact, we are so at one with him that we're counted to be at the right hand of God also in him. But here we can see that it's been graciously been given to suffer as a result of our oneness with him. And so we're going to talk a little bit more going forward, not this week, but I'm going to come back to it next week. And we want to talk about suffering. The bad news is suffering is a part of life here on earth. And as I mentioned, we can suffer as a result of Adam's fall. No fault to our own, except we would have done the same thing in Adam's position. But we can suffer as a result of the fall. We can also we can suffer for our own poor decisions. You know, we can suffer because we're living according to the flesh. But we can also we can suffer as a result of our oneness with Christ. And so so when you think about suffering and as a part of life, we have to come to the realization of the fact that in this life here on earth, we're not going to get away from suffering. That's not our goal. But in our suffering, we want it to be in a way or in a manner that's glorifying to God. And so this will kind of set the stage for what I'm going to touch on next week. If we go back to 1 Peter, and this is kind of where we're going to end today in chapter 4. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to pick up in verse 15. And so let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Or as an evildoer. Evildoer, just one doing things lacking in character. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. And so we can suffer as a result of the sin nature. We can suffer as a result of carrying out strong desires or lusts that come from Satan. But that's not where God wants us to suffer. And we're not pigeonholed into suffering in that matter. And so let none of you suffer in this way. This is what Peter's saying. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, and so he says, let him not be ashamed. And so when we suffer as a result of our oneness with Christ, when we suffer as a result of the fall of Adam or health issues or things that can come our direction, we can suffer as a Christian when we're relying on the provisions of grace. And he says, let him not be ashamed. Now he says, but let him glorify God in this part. And so this is a part of life, and the believer has the potential to glorify God in this part. Now he's going to go on, and I'll just drop down to verse 19. Peter says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls. Now remember, your souls as believers, we're waiting for future tense salvation to receive the salvation of our souls. That's the seat of our emotions. We got to be careful of our emotions. We don't want the emotions to be taking the lead. We're in trouble. That's like the tail wagging the dog for the Christian when the emotions are taking the lead. The rationale should take the lead and the emotions follow. Does it mean we're not going to have emotions if we're going through suffering according to the will of God? But here we see commit the keeping of your souls, and it says in well-doing. It's just literally, I would say, by good doing. The word, it's a Greek compound word with agathos, the same word, the same root we had of good works over in Ephesians 2:10. And so commit the keeping of their souls to him by good doing as unto a faithful creator. And a faithful creator, just kind of a dependable, trustworthy creator. And so that's that ties right along with if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And so we want to come back. I'm going to come back to this concept of suffering. And it can be a part of how Christians are allowed to be under pressure. And we can see that by the provisions of grace, that God can use it to grow the believer, and he can work out his outcome, his desirous will for the believer and those that are around those believers. And so that's where we want to find ourselves. So I'm going to close here, and we'll pick up with that concept next week. Father, we do thank you for this day. We're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for the reminder that our citizenship is in the heavens. As we live our life here on earth, we're grateful that your grace is sufficient for the provisions of grace and the privilege that we have in Christ, and to be ones here that can be walking as the born ones of light. May your spirit continue to bless us in our thoughts, and we would thank you. In Christ's name, amen.